Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Here with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7 on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We are in the book of Isaiah today. Just finished up chapter 38 and 39, where he was talking to King Hezekiah, giving his future. And Hezekiah asked God for more life because he was going to die. Be careful what you ask God for, because the life he had before, the extra 15 years was much better. And the entire premise of that was about be satisfied with what you have and put pride and love of life behind you. In chapter 40, and we go right from him dealing with Hezekiah at that time of life to talking about the coming Messiah, John the Baptist. You got to understand, a lot of times when you read these prophets in most of the books of the Old Testament, this was not Isaiah didn't sit down and write this book, okay? It's a conglomeration of writings all of his life, different time periods, different things, different prophecies given by God. And we're in chapter 40 now. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now he's leading us up to what he's getting ready to say in verse 3. Because God said, when he brought the children out of Babylon, I'm done interacting with you. From this point on, the only use I will have for you will be to bring forth a body for Messiah. A member of David's family, pure, that I can... my son will inhabit. That's the only thing, only good. And this is that they have paid double for all their sins because they did not have any of God's blessings from that point forward. They never seated a king in the nation. They had a king in exile. The council in Babylon had kept the seat because God said a king would always sit on the David's throne. They had kept a member of David's family on the throne until Christ came and took it himself. So verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That is the prophecy of John the Baptist there. So he's basically saying, at this time, after this entire period from reclaiming the land after the exile in Babylon until Jesus Christ appears, you will have paid double for your sins, but then a voice will cry from the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the one to come. The one they've been waiting for, the Messiah himself. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Interesting analogy there to comparing people to grass, and it's true. The more watering you get, the greener the grass gets. The more spiritual watering a person gets, the greener it gets. The lack of water, the grass will fade out and wither away. And the same with a human being. You don't interact with God, you will fade out and wither away. And that's exactly what these people had done when they came back out of Babylon with no interaction with God. We've already seen lots of episodes here talking about that time period when the priest line has totally become political, totally become preaching for money. I mean, it's just, it's the nation has gone astray with no king and with no God. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Here we go. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now, the Jewish people were expecting a Messiah to come riding in on a white horse and conquer the world and set up the Jewish kingdom. Does that say anything like that, Jonathan?
No, that's a gentle savior right there. I mean, he's taking the time for the women with child.
Yeah, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs so gently with his arm, carry them in his bosom, shall gently lead those that are with the young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of the hand, and metered out the heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? It's just asking you, who is wiser than God? God has done all these things. This is inconceivable for man to do. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? Wow, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? One man came close, Moses. Moses counseled God one day, but we all know that God choreographs everything, and it was put there for us, for Jonathan and I today, to understand that God counsels everything.
And thank God for Moses doing that. Yes. None of us would have a chance right now.
No. I wonder if ever God thought, man, that guy's really bugging me. Yeah. Maybe I should just wipe him out and get another one.
I knew he was going to, but
he's reminding me of these promises that I make. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? No one. God is the creator of all. God is the creator of justice. God is the creator of all knowledge. Man is only gleaning what he can get from God and God's natural world that he put him in. So basically, no one, he's just saying, he's asking you here, who is equal to God? No one. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. Interesting.
You imagine the all right, and what I'm saying is the scale of him, nations are the size of a drop.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So we are all so insignificant.
And then these people down here think they're going to fight him?
Oh, yes. That boggles my mind. We've got all the armies aligned, Antichrist. Did you say he's going to be coming through the clouds any minute now? Yeah. We got him. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, sir.
And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. So, nothing. Yeah, you know, your religious offerings, nothing. Nothing is significant, even religion. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. Almost sound like Solomon wrote this now. Mm-hmm. He liked that word vanity.
Hated.
Vanity, vanity, all things are vanity. Yep. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare him unto? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spread it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. So that is so improviseth that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye known? Have ye not heard? Have ye not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and inhabitant thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing, that maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stalks shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Nothing. He's gone from saying all men are tiny little gnats. Nothing. They are absolutely nothing. And he describes here the making of other gods, which are nothing but wood, silver, gold. The audacity of a man to worship something like that it's absolutely, it boggles the mind. And how a mind, well, I know the mind is contrary to the will of God. And if the spirit man God placed in the heart is asleep, the mind is capable of doing lots of horrible things and atrocities. And the deception that the mind is open to is astronomical when the spirit is not in control. Be surprised, Christian, how gullible you are when the spirit is not in control. It reminds me of that story. You won't find it in the Bible. You find it in the book of Jasher and Jubilees. It's in Abraham's father. Abraham goes to his father's house. He's got this whole room full of wooden gods, from the biggest to the smallest. And Abraham, he knows God at this point. But he has to come to the understanding that there is no power in these gods. So he wants to test these gods. He goes into the room one day when his father's at work, has his mother make some tasty meat. He takes it in there and sets it before them, and tells them it's for them. I brought this here for you gods. And he sits there all day long. And they don't eat it. It goes away. Maybe they want to eat in private. Comes back later. They haven't touched it. It does it again, right, Jonathan? Uh-huh. Second day?
Yep.
Does the same thing the next day. Comes to the conclusion, these are wooden objects. No power. So he takes a hatchet, and he chops all of them up except for the big one. And he puts the hatchet in the big one's possession. Lays it there with the big one. His father comes home, has a coronary. Oh my God, what has happened to my gods? And Abraham says, well, oh father.
Gods, what has happened?
Yeah. Sorry. What has happened to my gods? What have you done, Abraham? I didn't do it, father. I brought in some tasty foods mother had made, and I placed it before your gods. And the little ones ate first, and the big one got mad and chopped them all up. Yep. And his father said, that's preposterous. They don't have the power to do that. Yeah. And he says, right, father, they don't have the power to do anything. Not talk, not speak, not influence, and not chop up each other with hatchets. And that just underscores the just ignorance of a human being worshiping an inanimate object. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care if it's a wooden statue, a little Buddha, a beautiful 1967 Cobra. Right. Right. Now, I would like to have one of those, but I wouldn't worship it. I promise you, Lord, I will not worship it.
I'll wash it.
Yes, I'll wash it occasionally, but I will not worship it. If I park it in the parking lot, I will not look back at it more than once on my way into the store. Absolutely promise. Verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by numbers? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed from over my God? Nothing is hidden from God. It's asking there. This is God just trying to put some understanding in their minds of the enormity of God and the immiscule minority of man. The comparison is, there's not a comparison there. It's nothing to compare. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Nothing. He says, he's asking them, do you think I don't see what you do? Mm-hmm. Do you think that judgment will not come one day, Christian? Nothing done in the dark will remain in the dark. God knows it all. He knows the thoughts of your heinous mind. That one I hate. Because thoughts go through your head. It's like a firing mechanism. Because the seed of the serpent's in there firing it off. You don't even have the choice of whether you hear it or not. Mm-hmm. They shoot through your mind, do they not, Christian? Don't lie.
Yeah. Whether you reject them or not.
Yes, that's exactly right, Jonathan. What do you do with it after it comes in there that matters? But according to Paul, to think it is to have done it. That one there is very harsh. I kind of argue with Paul in that respect just a little bit. To think it shows that the spirit man just doesn't have the dominance of the mind that he should. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord of Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And that entire verse is telling them, the Messiah is coming. You've done a lot of bad things over this long time period, but he that waiteth upon the Lord shall rise up with wings as eagles. And I know everything you've done this entire time, but salvation is at the end and it's waiting for you, Christian. All you have to do, or citizen, or heathen, whatever you go by, Christ is there for you.
Verse 27 here, where it says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? To me, that's literally, all right, O Jacob and O Israel, all right, is referring to Judaism.
Yeah.
All right. And my way is hid from the Lord would be referring to their animal sacrifices where they covered their sins. So they're covering their way hidden from the Lord.
Hidden from the Lord.
Right. And then and my judgment is passed over from my God, which they always observed the Passover from the point of leaving Egypt.
Interesting. That is, yeah, and that's precisely what the sacrifice does.
Right.
Hidden.
Right.
Yeah, the sin is not gone.
It's just, it's covered.
It's covered.
Like you swept it under the rug.
That's exactly right. Yeah, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Yeah, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is searching of his understanding. Yeah, that exact, there's everything in here has duality.
Uh-huh.
That is exactly, and basically, you know, just covered, just hidden, that's
yeah.
all.
Oh, yeah.
But I know it all.
Yeah, you spray painted over
yeah.
the scratch.
And it still has to be dealt with. Yeah. The sacrifice has hidden it, that's all. Providing the heart was right when you made the sacrifice.
All right.
Good catch there, Jonathan. Chapter 41. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who rise up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust of the sword, and as a driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, first. and with the last I am he. The isle saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone, his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, the metal worker, King James and his smooth, he that smootheth with a hammer. Sorry, that's a metal worker. Well, just put it in as smootheth with a hammer.
That sounds way better.
Yes, yes. I like that smootheth. Smootheth with a hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with a nail, that it should be moved. But thou, O Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Interesting how he dissects them there. Mm-hmm. But thou, Israel, art my servant. That's the last and the name that all the children took. Jacob, whom I have chosen, between Jacob and Esau, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, that's quite a title to possess.
A friend of God.
Yeah, my friend. Yeah.
Not anyone else called by that in here.
Right.
Interesting, man. That's why he allowed him to argue with him so much.
Yeah. We're just alike, yeah.
I had to thump you, but you're my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as the thing of naught. For I, the Lord God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Continuing down that pledge that he is sending the Messiah. It's all right here. Let's read 14 again. Mm-hmm. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob. Men are minuscule. You know, a few minutes ago, he's his servant. You are my servant, but you are yet a tiny little thing. Mm-hmm. And Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small. Thou shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. And that basically says the Jewish kingdom will be established one day when the Messiah comes and the millennial period begins. They just couldn't put the pieces together. They assumed it would be when he came the first time as a conquering hero, but no, he came as a child. And it's in here, all over the place, 300 different places, how he's going to come, where he's going to come from, what line he's going to come from, what the star that's going to be there, everything. Even the fact that he rides into Jerusalem for the last time on a donkey. Donkey's colt. I can see the Pharisees sitting up there. They know he's coming. They got runners going out watching for him. He's coming. He's coming there, Rabbi. What's he riding on? Oh, appears to be a donkey's colt. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah.
Another prophecy come true. Obviously, he read the book, and he's just done all this himself. They knew. They knew who he was. But they were so politically bound into not allowing him to come like that, they mitigated Christ. But you know what? It was all supposed to go just like that. The Jewish kingdom was not supposed to be set up at that time. The kingdom of God was supposed to be established so the entire world could have a ride. Mm-hmm. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. That basically describes, amen, the clutches of sin. Doesn't matter who you are, God will not forsake you. And you always hear the old adage, God helps those who help themselves. Yeah. No, that's a bad thing, especially to be in a church. God helps the helpless. You can help yourself. You really don't need God, you know? Mm-hmm. Because there is no man in this world who can walk uprightly without the assistance of God. When they ask Christ, they call him good master. There are no good men. No, not one. Jesus was basically saying there are only those who try to be good through the assistance of God. Follow God with all your heart. You have the ability to be perceived by God as a good man, even though you're still not. You remember those little things that fire off in your head every time you get in a different situation? You know, walk by Shlomo's tent and his wife comes out scantily dressed,
picking up the newspaper.
What is that look I seen on your face, Jonathan? Oh, nothing. Have a nice day, Shlomo.
Yeah, so with that that being said, the whole thing about the God helps those who help themselves, then explain to me the fellow laying at the pool of Shiloh.
Exactly. Exactly.
He couldn't get himself into the water. Yeah. And the Lord came up and helped him.
Yeah. And then the rich man said, what must I do to follow you? Yeah. Sell all that you have and follow me.
Yeah.
Nah. I can't do that. I'm wealthy. I can help myself. Maybe I don't need to follow you. It was just one of them things that shot through my head there for a second, but I got it under control. See, it goes both ways.
Right.
Because if you're a heathen, you don't know God. The little angel on your shoulder shooting things through your head. Uh-huh. You know, what do you do with that? We always think, oh, it's just the devil, the bad thoughts that go through. No, if you're on the other side of the fence, the good thoughts are shooting through there.
Trying to wear you down into, yeah, you know, not submission, but...
Wake that spirit man up.
Wake you up.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.